usually like when you're going through something hard, you're like, why is this happening to me? What did I do to deserve this? And then sometimes you get the years that answer questions. And I feel like I'm in one of those years now where I've finally graduated from my 10-year-long MD-PhD program and I'm starting a new chapter in a new place. And it's all very exciting. Welcome to the Trail Network podcast. In this episode, we have a nice heart-to-heart about all the happenings in our lives. Katie talks about her new gravel bike career and her difficult decision to withdraw from the Western States 100-mile race this year. Leah talks about how she listens to her body as she's recovering from further and just really honoring the time that it takes to recover from such a monumental effort. And Hillary talks about her 200-mile race later this summer and how she's balancing training with all of her creative work. We hope you enjoy this episode as much as we enjoyed it. Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us tonight, today, whatever time of day it is for you. This is your host, Rachel Drake, and I'm joined by my friends.
I'm Hillary.
Katie.
And Leah.
And we're just going to have a heart-to-heart and catch up with what everyone has going on in their lives. And I want to start with Katie. Katie posted something today about how she sadly took her name off the list for Western States. Katie, can you tell us about that decision and what's going on in your heart?
Oh, man, you started with a tough one, right? Just really going for it. Okay, so I have raced Western States the last 3 years, and it was
– and crushed it.
And I was able to get top 10. The last race, I took an hour off my PR. I feel like I've only gotten better in that race and have learned a lot about myself as a person and a runner, but really more a person. And, you know, it's funny. There's life in a day, right? We talk about 100-mile races and – maybe you could say that about any 100-mile race, but there really is something special and unique to Western States for me. And it's really hard for me to take my name off the start list. And yeah, it was pretty crushing. I've known that I needed to for a while now, probably over a month. But I just kept holding on to the belief. I think I'm an eternal optimist, hoping that maybe there'd be some miracle that I'd be cleared to be able to start training, to be able to toe the line. And then I dabbled with, oh, maybe I'll toe the line and just walk it in. And I'll just be the last finisher and I'll see Western States from a totally different perspective. And I just want to be a part of the community. I want to be in it. I just want to be there. And then I realized that that's probably not very realistic for me since – got a bit of competitive fire in me and I would probably completely screw my foot up. So the reason why it's because my foot is still healing. The fracture line is healing. We see bone calluses on the fracture line, but just not exactly where we want it. And I'm biking, I can hike, but I'm just not at the place that I'm going to be able to train for States the way I need to. And yeah, so I had to take my name off the list and it's really hard, you guys. I mean, this year is going to be really tough for me. I don't know which races I'm going to be able to toe the line for. A part of me is like the amount of effort it takes to be able to toe a line and be healthy is a lot. Like we put thousands of miles on our feet and I just kind of scared. I had surgery in November and research shows that's not really healed until a year later on the navicular bone. Mm. So it's really hard. I think the plan is for me to just train my butt off on the bike and the elliptical and be able to start doing some running, but not the amount of running I need to do to train for a competitive 100 miler. And then really go into 2025, like rearing to go and with huge plans. So anyways, that's where I'm at. And I can talk a little bit about, I'm still going to be at Western States. I still deeply care about that race. And I will be there every year in some capacity. But the goal is to be able to get back for next year. So, which means for our listeners, I'll have to win or get second or maybe third at Black Canyon at a golden ticket race. So it's going to be quite an adventure. I'm still in the thick of it and feeling like there's a lot of uncertainty in my life when it comes to running, but also here for the journey. So that's me, trusting myself, trusting my team, and believing that I'll get back healthy.
Katie, how long were you in the boot for? It's a long time.
Ooh, girl. Well,
you just did the math the other day.
I did.
You sent it to me.
So it's a lot. Like, I was in the boot for 36 weeks, either the boot, the ortho boot, or a cast. I didn't count the amount of weeks I was non-weight bearing. I guess it would have been non-weight bearing this time, 7.5 weeks. But then after I was non-weight bearing, I was back in a boot, like scooting around. Oh, no, then I was non-weight bearing for another 3 weeks after that. No, it was 10.5 weeks non-weight bearing. And then after that, I was scooting around on my heel in my ortho boot. Anyway, and then finally in the ortho boot again. But it was a long time. and my foot is pretty jacked up. I mean, I've been doing PT every day and it's just weak. So I don't want to compromise something else going wrong if my foot's not ready. So yeah, it sucks. It really sucks. It's like, it didn't go according to plan. I think a lot of listeners will realize that, like, will kind of resonate with that when you just have these big dreams and ambition and it's like, gosh, darn it. I did everything right. How did this happen? So
it never does.
Yeah.
And then also when you do get back to, you know, being healthy, then there's the whole matter of trying to get your fitness as well, your running fitness. And that's something that I struggled a lot with last year publicly by doing races when I knew I wasn't fit. But similar to you, I just really wanted to be in the thick of it. I wanted to play with my friends again. So, you know, doing Broken Arrow Sky Race and doing Dolomiths and, you know, getting in the 20th, 30th place. I don't remember. But I mean,
and then
it's a super long journey. And I
crushing OCC. Just like, what? That was insane. Anyway.
At some point, I guess that's where the story's going. It's like at some point it just will click again. And you being patient and kind to yourself will undoubtedly pay off.
Yeah. I mean, I'm here for the long game. That's really the lesson for me, is that I really care about this sport. And to be completely honest, if I went and raced Western States and my foot broke again, this would be the third time that it would break. It would just, I don't know if I could do this all over again, guys. It's been really hard. So I am giving this year like the full respect and just doing everything I can so that when I go into 2025, I'm like, I did it all right. There was no questions asked. There's no doubt in my surgeon's mind that I can't run a 100-miler after that, right? So that feels right. Mm-hmm. That feels good. I'm here for the long game. And yeah, I think I'm pivoting a bit. I'm going into gravel. I have my first gravel bike race in a couple weeks. I'm total newbie. But, you know.
What race did you sign up for, Katie?
Called the Whiskey Tango. Whiskey Tango Fondo. It's in Lone Pine. So it's 2 hours from my house. Total fun event. Of course, I'm like, I want to win.
How long is it?
Like,
how long is it?
I don't even know what you're doing, Katie. It's a 50 miler. So I haven't ridden. That will be the farthest I've rode on my bike.
And it's in 3 weeks.
It's the 27th. Yeah.
Awesome. Katie, I liked your picture of like day one, got your gravel bike and took it out, tried to take it out for a spin. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, man. Okay. So we had set up, so we got a Canyon. I'm not sponsored by Canyon, but I got a Canyon because it got mailed to me. I live in a rural part of the world and you can't just go to a bike shop and get a bike. So it has to be sent to you. So we got a Canyon. We were just kind of building it. We did what the manufacturer says, the exact tightness of the screws. They have like a little device to make sure it's perfect because it's a carbon bike and you don't want to split the carbon. So we did it perfectly. And my husband's like incredible with this sort of stuff. And he's helping me. And the next day we go out. It's literally the first day I've been cleared out of my boot, my ortho boot. And I'm so excited. I'm so emotional to be doing any sort of adventure outside. Oh my God, I just want to be dirty. I want to feel the wind in my hair. I just want to be outside. I was so excited. It was like euphoric for sure. And anyway, it was an absolute, can we swear? Shit show. Absolute shit show, guys. I mean,
that's the only swear word we can use on this podcast.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's a reference to Shit in the Woods, Leah's husband. So, okay, guys. So my seat post, I adjusted that 6 times. Pete got a flat. My chain fell off. My handlebars just
didn't
like
your chain also freeze on the bike rack. Didn't your chain get frozen solid?
Oh, that was another time. Yeah, that was another time. That was the time after. Uh-huh. I took that. Yeah, yeah. It was like in a blizzard and I was like, I'm going to find dirt. I'm determined. And then I put the bike on the back of my car and I whatever. And then I finally drove an hour and was like, nope, still snow on the ground. Screw it. I'm going for it. I'm like, I just need to be outside. Don't be like a wuss and just go. So I get out of my car to get my bike and it's completely frozen. Like the stove, everything's frozen. Anyway, that was another story. So yes, it has not been like easy getting into gravel biking, but I'm determined to be a gravel cyclist. we'll see how this all goes.
Quick side note. In college, I biked to class every day in the winter, and I'm from Minnesota, so it was very cold. And I parked my bike outside, and one day it was parked underneath a gutter, and so it slowly got dripped on, and my entire bike got frozen solid that I had to bring it in the house into the shower to de-thaw.
Oh my God.
So, pro tip, Katie, if you ever need to
– did you have to carry it?
No, it was frozen outside my house, okay. So I just had to carry it inside. Yeah.
You like an ice sculpture?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
That
was terrible. Totally. So if you ever need that, Katie,
I just think it's cool that you've maintained such an amazing mindset through all this. Like, I admire you so much. Just knowing how much you were in the boot prior to Western States last year and then what your years look like since, you basically got that race and then you went back in the boot. And I just, like, you're incredible for how you've just fought through it to stay as positive as possible and find the silver lining even when everything is not going according to plan. So
I mean, I'm not always like long haul stoked, you know, like maybe it looks like I am, like there's
that is hard to believe days. Katie,
there's hard days, right? And I will say it has nothing to do with, like, I love following the sport on Instagram and my friends, and I love being engaged in the sport in all ways. That never feels like something you need to step away from. But I know that people that are injured do need to have that space. For me, I get tons of energy and joy from being engaged as much as possible. So for me, it's like, I'm all in. Like, I want to, let's start a podcast. Like, I don't want to talk about this more and more. But it feels, you know, there's definitely times where I'm just like, man, I just need to go hug a tree. I just need to be outside. I'm like going crazy. And I think that, you know, this is the release for a lot of people running, you know, probably if you're listening to this podcast, you are a runner. And if you are a runner, you probably use that as a bit of a release. And yeah, it's just my happy time. It's my, yeah. And so anyway, it's been tough in that way where I'm like, oh, I just want to go out. But you also kind of surrender to it. And actually that acceptance helps when you're like, okay, I don't know if I'm going to be racing this year. And I'm okay with that. And that took me a while to get to. And I'm like, well, I'm in a gravel race and that's going to be okay, you know? And that's like absolutely surrendering to that idea. It's like anything I do get will be actually like cherry on top. So that feels right. But yeah, I mean, I think that kind of giving in to it and just knowing that you don't really have control over it, I'm doing all I can. I definitely feel like I'm still training and like working like I'm a professional athlete, but yeah, I'm just not going to be able to show off any running fitness. That's okay. So anyways, so that's me, y'all. It's been a joy.
I know coming off of a race isn't quite the same as coming off of an injury, but I'm curious, Leah, how your body's doing after further. And just, I think there are a lot of gems that we can glean from, you know, how you know that you're ready to get back into training or even just ready to start running again after such a big effort? Like, what kind of signs do you look for?
Oh, this has been really interesting to me because I never imagined I'd have to go through the recovery of a post 6-day event. So yeah, navigating it has been really interesting, but actually quite fun. So right now it's April 10th and I'm about 1 month removed from finishing 6 days of running and accumulating about 400 miles out there. And initially, you know, I have plans for the summer. My plans as they stand right now are doing Quad Rock 50 miler in mid-May, like May 12th, and then Western States in June. And I knew that like having 400 miles on my legs, especially before a 100 miler like Western States, wasn't the ideal build up by any means, especially for somebody that's a pretty low volume runner like I am. So coming out of further, I just completely respected the way my body felt. And it was really interesting how my body felt because it was unlike any recovery or post 100 mile feelings I've ever had. So a lot of the feelings I've had post-race in the past, post-100 milers. So I've done like the Bear, Western States, UTMB, and I'm always so muscularly sore. And coming out of further, I was not muscularly sore, but I was like feeling arthritic everywhere. My knees, my like ankles, my Achilles were feeling tight, my tendons, like things were just feeling off, but almost in such a way that it was like, it was this temporary period of overuse, which is exactly what it was. I ran 8 times the mileage I normally run in a week. So it was this like acute period of overuse that I think I just needed to recover from. So for me, what that looked like was, I think, almost 2 weeks of no running. I did go to the gym and cycle a little bit. I took a page out of Katie's book, and I don't have bike shorts, and I lasted about like 20 minutes on the bike for like 3 days. And that was about where I maxed out. But I remember I told my friends, like, I just plan on being horizontal in any down moment for the next, like for the 2 weeks after. So I did go back to work on, I finished further on a Tuesday. I worked remote on Thursday and Friday that week and then returned to the hospital in person the next Monday. And I just, those weeks were a blur to me, like a complete blur from like a fatigue level, but also just like a physical level. Like when I wasn't working, I was at home horizontal on the couch. And I felt really okay about it. Like I knew that that was just like, I got zapped like energy wise. So just respecting that. And then after about 2 weeks, I ran like, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 miles my first week back. And I ran around my neighborhood for my first run back, like 3 miles. And it was funny how my body tapped right into the same pace that I was running at further. So I had like one gear and one gear only. And that was like 9:30 to 10:30 pace all over again. And I'm like, darn it, I can't escape this pace. But, and that actually felt like pretty challenging at first. But each day it was like I loosened up a little bit more, kept it to neighborhood runs. And now we're back to doing some vert this week, but really keeping an eye on my heart rate, which is something I've never done before. Like after big attempts and mileage like I did, baseline heart rate is just quite high. So using that as my guide and prioritizing sleep and all the things that can keep my heart rate in like a nice, happy, healthy zone. I think that's just been a priority, and keeping stress as much to a minimum as possible. Like I think stress is stress is stress. Work is stress. Life is stress. So if I don't feel like running one day, I don't. If my like scale's tipping in an unsustainable way, I like take something off my plate that day. So I think that's always really important coming off big efforts like that in hopes of ramping back up. But I think this will be about my first week back to normal mileage if all goes well. So fingers crossed.
Awesome.
I have a question. Leah, have you spoken to your other teammates that did the 6-day event? How are they feeling after the race? Is it similar with the not having a lot of soreness and more of like joint pain? Just curious what their experiences have been like.
I think so. I think a lot of people are feeling pretty similarly. I think a lot of people like respected this downtime. And like, I think Camille had experienced, like, I mean, she pushed her body to her limits. And I think she experienced probably a lot that we did not experience from just a full body level. I saw last week she just said she like broke 9 minutes for the first time on one of her runs, which is saying a lot for Camille. Like Camille is so fast. So I think even like her body's taken a minute to come back. But it seems like everybody came out in one piece, which is awesome. Like I think mostly just like tendon and joint stuff, if anything. But yeah, I think Devin's training for Comrades. Camille's training for Comrades. And a couple of my other teammates are already back running. Vrico is training for her first road marathon, which is awesome. So it's really cool to see that everybody still loves running too.
And they're not broken.
And they're not broken. Totally. Which I think is huge. And I think that actually speaks to like just the level of support and just the approach a lot of us had to it as well.
I really want to celebrate your patience with this. I think there's just such a get back to it culture. And I think seeing you really respect your body and respect the time that it takes to get back and being open to different timelines with that is really awesome.
Yeah. I was supposed to do my first workout back today. Like, and if you're a Roach athlete or Megan Roach athlete, one of the first workouts back is always like 1 minute at 10K pace every 5 minutes or so once you start getting back into things. And like, I wasn't ready today, so I didn't do it because I just felt like I have DOMS. I did the Moab Rufa event on Saturday for like fun. Oh. And that ended up being like 12 miles with like 6,000 feet. So I'm just experiencing like 7 days of DOMS over here. So,
oh my gosh. I missed that one. I didn't know you did that. Oh, wow.
I did. I jumped in it. Mike was doing the 6 hour for fun. So then I jumped in the 3 hour one, which was a nice time. And it was fun. And it reminded me that my quads still definitely exist. And they're definitely feeling that muscular fatigue that I did not feel from further. I'm definitely experiencing now.
Okay, while we're on further, I just found out that our friend Hillary here signed up for a 200-mile race. So I'm just curious. Well, first, I want to ask Hillary what the race is, and also I want Leah to give her some advice for that.
I need all the advice, guys. Yeah, I'm already thinking it was a dumb idea. It's like not till August. Okay, so for the last 5 years, I was involved in Destination Trail 200 milers, and I was the media director for the last 3 years. So I've been around a lot of 200 mile races, and it's like funny, after a while, you're sort of like, I could probably do that. You know, like you kind of see people go through the whole thing. You see like a well executed race, and then someone's race go like totally to shit, and you're like, oh yeah, I can totally see how I would do it differently. So I think in my head, I've sort of always been curious about what it would look like. And I like long races. Like, they're the only ones I do well at. And I tend to do better as races go on. Like, I'm sort of a, like, once I get past the halfway mark, then I decide that I'm actually going to show up and, like, I've accepted that I'm there. So I sort of have this in my head that, like, okay, I can do these longer races. And then I left my position with Destination Trail in December, and they basically offered me the chance to run one of the races on the way out the door. And it just seemed like kind of a great opportunity to just like try it. And I chose Bigfoot 200 because I think it's the most underrated 200 in North America. It's gorgeous. It's like you start at Mount St. Helens and you end up by Mount Rainier. It's like a tour de volcanoes up in the Pacific Northwest through the Cascade Mountains. I run Cascade Crest 100 and Fat Dog 120 miler that are both in the Cascades. So I know a lot of that terrain. I grew up on the West Coast in Canada, up in like Vancouver and Squamish. So it just feels good. Like I was out there last summer and it's like the wild blueberries are out and it's like it smells good. So that made me excited.
I think you're convincing all of us to do it. Are we all running Bigfoot 200 now?
You guys, it is beautiful. It is like, I'm also like, if I'm going to run 200 miles, I want it to be the one that's like hardest logistically, because that's where I'd actually want support, you know? Mm-hmm. And so to me, it's like having been all over the course, like the crews drive almost 1,000 miles on that course.
Oh my
Billy
God.
Doesn't really know what he's getting into yet. I just
we
like,
won't tell him
that the other day, and he was like, wait, what? Like, how far are we driving? And a lot of it's like a 3 hour out and like 3 hours one direction to get to an aid station, and the whole road is that washboard, like Forest Service,
oh
like dun 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 dun. And it's heinous, and it's all out of cell phone coverage. So if I was selling you on it before, I might have just like unsold you on it.
I want to run it. I don't want to support it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So I actually think I have the easy job. Like, and it's kind of fun. So they have a 40 miler on the first day. So I convinced a couple of my friends from BC to come down and run the 40 miler on day one, since I can't have pacers, and then pace me since I won't be moving very fast. So I just think it's going to be a good time. Like, it's, to me, kind of interesting, because I've struggled over the years, like ever since I got into like doing the professional media side of things, the like life balance went totally out of whack with like being able to race and train. And like I used to have a coach and love racing and train properly. I worked with Gary Robbins. I worked with David Roach. I did the thing. And then when I started shooting, it was like all I did was capture other people's races. And so I've kind of tried to find a good balance with that over the last few years, and like did I Am Tough 100 last year and did High Lonesome, but it's always hard to fit the training in. And so my thought is like, if I do a 200 miler and I'm already out in the mountains and I just put a heavy pack on and I'm like hiking around all day, like I'm technically training for a 200 miler, right? Like
100%.
So that's kind of the idea, is like I have all these crazy travel adventures lined up for work, and we're going to some pretty cool places. I won't spoil it all because I want to talk about some of those as they come up, but like we're heading to some very far reaching corners of the world. One of them might be Mongolia in May, which I'm very excited about. And apparently I get to travel on a camel, which I'm just sort of like, my brain's trying to wrap around the scope of that trip right now. But I will have stories from that for sure. But I'm sort of just like, I have to be able to find a way to build training in wherever I am. And so, we're going to be in the Dolomites this summer. I'm going to like wear an extra heavy pack for a lot of my like runs and stuff, and just try to kind of build up that fitness. But I don't know, it could be a really terrible idea, you know, like especially the sleep deprivation part of it, Leah. Like, I am totally going to pick your brain on just managing, like, when is too far to push myself? Like, you know, but yeah, that's the plan at any rate.
any
tips or tricks?
Honestly, like, I think that was the most surprising thing for me, was just how decently you can do on little sleep and how impactful little micro naps are, whether that's like 10 minutes to 30 minutes, like they are supreme. And as long as you treat your wake up like it's a new day and kind of refresh yourself appropriately, like brushing your teeth and like wiping yourself down, like it feels kind of like a new day and you feel refreshed. And I shared some time this past weekend with Mindy Campbell, who is Jared Campbell's wife, at Rufa in Moab. And I was telling her some of my further experiences. And she said same thing about Jared at Barclays this year, is he took a shower every day out there to feel, give himself like that refreshing feeling. So I know that's kind of impossible in the context of a 200 some miler in the wilderness, but just those techniques to feel fresh and feel new and treat it like a new day, you can almost like trick your body into it, which I thought
that 100%.
Was amazing. Like, it was an amazing like realization out there, and it worked.
I've seen people do that at Western States too, with like our friend Marianne made these aromatherapy face cloths for Keely at Western States, and she also made some for me when I was in labor with Lewis. And it totally just like, it can reset you, especially if you get some good scents in there. This episode is brought to you by Osprey Packs, the top-notch pack company celebrating 50 years. Happy birthday, Osprey! As the snow starts melting in the high country, I personally can't wait for long adventure days, and Osprey makes the best fast packs. Their Talon Tempest packs are so lightweight. I've been on several multi-day adventures in my Tempest Pro and have honestly forgotten that I was wearing a pack. That's how comfortable and wonderfully engineered the pack is. The Talon Tempest Velocity was just released, and it's sure to be a favorite. Go get yours at osprey.com or your favorite local retailer.
That's a great idea. I never thought of that. I love, like, I've always brushed my teeth like halfway through a race, because after a while it feels pretty gnarly, like all the sugar and everything. You're just like, not good. And like changing your shirt and stuff. But it is crazy how your brain, you can trick your brain. Like, you totally can, right? And like, as soon as the sun comes up on a new day, It's like, it's all about those psychological things. But that said, my last couple hundred milers, since I started doing them again, I had some wicked hallucinations quite early on, which like was a little bit disconcerting. I was, yes. Yeah. And I don't know if it's because I go into these things like kind of burnt out from the summer of like everything else. And it probably is that. But I feel like that's probably going to be my biggest challenge, because being on the media side, I could tell you so many stories of like the most wild hallucinations that I've seen out there. And I have talked people back into reality from like some other universe. And it's like, I know where your brain can go. And like, I'm kind of fascinated and kind of terrified of that.
Now I want to hear about your hallucinations. Can you give us some details?
Oh my God, I can tell. Okay, I can tell you one because he doesn't care. It's a buddy of mine from the UK that has done a bunch of the 200s. And he, at Moab a couple years ago, Moab 240, he, like, people were coming up the trail. It's the last 20 miles of the race. So he's gone 220 miles and he's in like 20th place. He's doing really well. People are warning me as they see me on the trails as I'm out there waiting for people to come by and do photos, like, hey, this guy, like, he doesn't look so good. Like, he's really like having a tough time. And I could hear him, and I could hear him like from down the trail coming up towards me, like yelling and screaming, and like comes around the corner and his wife is pacing him. And she's just like absolutely at her wit's end, because he's convinced himself that they hadn't started the race yet and that she won't let him start the race. And he is so mad at her, and like nothing she can say will convince him that he's like actually about to finish this race. And it was just like it was gone, and he's like a smart guy, and it was just kind of crazy. And we convinced him to take like a little micro nap, and he took a little micro nap, and then he gets up and we're talking, and then like 2 minutes after he wakes up, he's like, do you think I could nap for a few minutes? And we're like, you just did, you know. And so like, I mean, it took them like 8 hours to do the last 10 miles because he had to nap like every like 20 minutes. And it was just like, it's crazy when you see that. And then you see them the next day and they're showered and they're put together and they're just like kind of back to reality. But like what the brain can do when you hit those limits of like exhaustion. I mean, I think Cocodona too is like pretty wild, because I think anything over 200 miles is where it gets really, really gnarly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, I don't know. I've seen a lot of them. That's one of like 20, I could tell you. We could have a whole episode.
The initial excitement about a 200 mile race, and people are now no longer wanting to do those.
Okay, he's like, my FOMO is gone. You know? I have no more FOMO.
They don't need to do ayahuasca. Just go run a 200 miler, you know? I don't know.
I totally believe that, I don't know, you guys have probably had like the runner's high too. It's like the inverse of the runner's high, right? Like, it's, you have these like euphoric moments, but then you just have these like pure out of body moments that really don't belong to a category. And you're just like, it's wild where the brain goes.
Leah, what is your suggestion regarding caffeine?
Oh, I'm probably not the person to take caffeine advice from, because at Further, my friend Caleb, who was crewing me, he was like, I thought you were going to overdose on caffeine, if that is a thing. But honestly, it was not that bad. I'm a big believer in caffeine, especially in now multi-day events. Not that I'm a multi-day expert by any means, but like at least I was taking about 100 milligrams every, I'd say, 3 hours or so. And that felt pretty reasonable, and I could still fall asleep extremely well at the drop of a hat. So
that's the key.
Yeah, and I didn't like do any of the caffeine. Like, I didn't detox my caffeine going into the event or anything. I'm a big coffee drinker, and I think I could feel the impact of caffeine on my body, and I could also feel when I was going, like, if I didn't have caffeine in a while, and it would, like, taking it either right before a little nap or right after a little nap was really helpful as well, to just like kind of give you that little spark and to feel new again.
Oh man. So I had always wanted to do Bigfoot. And Pete and I were going to do it together as a big adventure when I turn 40, which is in 2 years. Okay. Don't rub it in.
Oh my God.
And then we were like, wait, we both can't do it. This is a horrible idea, because then we can't parent, you know? And then after Leah did and running 400 miles, I was like, see, honey, look, she's fine. We can do it. Like, you know,
Do it. We'll see.
The real challenge is the training, though. Tyler and I are like, wait, we're both training for a 100 miler at the same time.
Oh my God. Here, guys, I have a secret. We should talk about that. How it, when you and your partner are both trying to compete and how you create a schedule, you're both about to do a race, Rach, in a couple weeks. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, we've never both done, I guess, an A race at the same time. Normally it's like, oh, Tyler wants to go to Hong Kong. And I'm like, well, if I'm coming with, I want to play too. So I hop in the 30K. And in a couple weeks, Tyler wants to do Madeira. And of course I'm going with. So I'm going to hop in the 60K. But we've never both had an A race at the same time. And I think we're starting to feel some of the strains of like, okay, we're both getting up into higher mileage, both doing longer workouts, and it's really just planning every single day almost to the hour of, okay, you need to be back from your run by this time so I can run before this meeting. Or obviously we can't do long runs on the same day because they take many, many hours. So
that's so hard, especially, and I mean, you guys are moving in the next little while. You have so many life pieces that you're juggling. Just like, I guess you have to be so efficient with your time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's chaos.
I think from a firsthand perspective, living with Rachel and Tyler this summer in Les Houches while Rachel was training for OCC and Tyler for UTMB, it was so cool to see because Mike and I, we want to have a family someday, and just watching them like find the pockets of each day where it was Rachel's time to run, Rachel's time to get, like they'd go lift together occasionally, but then it was like Tyler's time to run in the afternoon, and just like the way you guys puzzled it together and made it work, but then also made a lot of time for your family, I think was just really realistic to see and inspiring too for future hopefuls.
It's definitely possible. And also it's really nice when you have super patient friends who will stay with you and offer to watch your kid while you go on a nice little run date. And also Lewis, a few times he would crawl into Mike and Leah's room and just like play with the wheels on their suitcase. He would crawl into bed with you guys. And like actually Mike took this amazing photo of Lewis just like in their, you know, just like tucked in their blankets. And my mom got that printed out, like a big 8x10 picture of that.
A little cherub.
That's so cute. He's just like, no problem. I'll entertain myself. I'll go make friends.
My new friends.
Yep.
Okay, Rach, but you're Rachel, you're also moving soon and you're racing Western States. I feel like you have a huge couple of months.
It's true. But hey, good news. We found a place to live, yay, which is really exciting. Yeah. Yeah. There was a place that was like a half a mile away from Mike and Leah. Unfortunately, we didn't end up going with that 7-bedroom compound, but
you made the better decision for life and commuting. Like as much as we wanted you guys to be neighbors, they're like right next to the zoo. They're right by the Natural History Museum, right next to all the great trails. So I think for and by the hospital too for work. So I think you guys are going to like it there.
Yeah. Yeah. We're excited. It's definitely a lot, everything happening all at once. And Tyler said to me a few years ago, you know, there are years that answer questions and there are years that ask questions. Mm-hmm. So I think like Katie, you're probably in a year right now that's asking a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. Usually like when you're going through something hard, you're like, why is this happening to me? What did I do to deserve this? And then sometimes you get the years that answer questions. And I feel like I'm in one of those years now where I've finally graduated from my 10-year long MD PhD program and I'm starting a new chapter in a new place. And it's all very exciting and also overwhelming.
And you're training for your first 100 miler.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. That too.
No big deal.
Yeah. I'm super. Yeah. Western States is going to be awesome. All my friends are doing it / have done it. That's what I just keep saying. It's going to be such a fun day with so many great people.
I'm really excited because I'm going to be crewing Rachel. And that is my like kind of way to still feel like I can be a part of the day and give back on that day to somebody I really care about. So that is going to be really meaningful to me and kind of just, yeah, it gives me like another go at Western States through a different lens, which I think is, really a big part of the sport. You can do a lot more than just race and you can I'm really excited to be a part of your day, Rachel. Really excited.
Well, I'm super grateful to have you on the team. I mean, your experience there and your energy is going to be just amazing. So I'm super grateful. And I'm honestly shocked that someone hasn't already recruited you to their team. I guess I kind of did a few weeks ago, but
you know, I'm thrilled. About, so Hillary was,
it's the right fit.
Hillary was saying that that how you wanted to be in the race with Bigfoot versus just shooting it, right? Like you wanted to kind of immerse yourself. And I felt that way about Western States, where I was like, oh, maybe I'll do race commentary, which just feels like a natural thing for me to do for States because I know a lot about the course and about the day and the people racing. But I wanted to not be behind the lens. I wanted to be in the dirt. I wanted to be a part of the day in like a really tangible, palpable way. And so this was like a no-brainer. It's like, oh, this feels so right. So if I can't be racing it, I definitely want to be a part of somebody else's day in some way. And I'm going to be going to Western States training camp for Memorial Day. Yay. And I think all of you ladies are going to be there. And maybe we'll do a live pod, maybe. But I'll go and just help out. And I'm going to be a part of an aid station help and like just be a part in a different way. And yeah, anyway, so I'm really excited about that. But yeah, maybe a teaser. Yeah.
And I give Katie a 5-star review for her UTMB crewing this year, her and Pete.
So she crushed it.
She even gave me her scooter at the finish line. So
that's right.
Like,
that's
what true kind love. Of crew does that?
My scooter, because I was that's trying to not love. Put weight on my foot that was healing. Yeah. About that a long time ago. Yeah, that was actually perfect, right? We need to bring more scooters to 100 mile races. That actually would come in really handy. Maybe I should bring it, Rachel, instead of getting rid of it, just in case you need it.
That's when you know Rachel's gone to the well, is when she needs the scooter. Yeah, when I need that. Line.
I hope I don't need that. I'm going to have to start residency like 2 days after, so I better be walking.
They'll have wheelchairs.
That's true. Oh my gosh. That's a conversation for another time. Well, this has been so fun, you guys, to catch up and, you know, hear what's going on in your lives. And I'm just super, super grateful for your friendship. And also thanks to the audience for joining us. We love having you here and are grateful for your time as well.
The Trail Network Podcast is brought to you by Sandy Boy Productions.